I think a lot of times we don't recognize how powerful music can be. But just think back to maybe a song you hear and how it can put you right back in a moment where you were 20 years ago. Maybe 5 years ago for some of you aren't as old, but it can take you right back to a moment and you can be just like you're right there. And it can give you all those feelings again. Music's very powerful. It's a very powerful tool. And I'm glad now that the memories I have now, that when I hear godly music now, it gives me those memories, versus I can still hear, you know, worldly music, secular rock and things like that, and it'll bring back memories to me because that's what I grew up listening to. But I'm glad now that I can hear godly music and it brings back memories for me. I'm thankful for that. But music is a very powerful tool, and we'd be foolish to think that the devil's not going to use it, not going to get his hand in it and corrupt it for his purposes. If we could understand this truth right here, that music is something that it's the world over. It doesn't matter what language you speak. Everyone's going to listen to music. And there's a danger, let me just say too, in not just, we say, when I say music, I don't just mean the words that are being spoken, but even the actual music that's being played. And if you don't believe that, if you want biblical proof of that, you go look at King Saul when he had that evil spirit come over him. What did he do? He got King David, well, not King David yet, but he got David to come and play godly music before him, and that evil spirit would leave. Okay? Music is powerful. It's powerful enough to drive away evil spirits, or what we call devils. It's that powerful. So just even the music without the words is powerful. Now you add in the words and music is preaching a message. So how many of you have listened to a song just over and 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 over again? Because you like it, you enjoy it. But that time, that whole time you're listening to that music, it's preaching a message to you. So what is the message also that it's saying? Okay, as we want to listen to secular rock and everything like that. I mean, I'm right here tonight preaching against CCM. So if I'm preaching against CCM, and when I say CCM, I mean contemporary Christian music, then what do you think the Bible says, or what do you think this pastor's opinion is, and my opinion's based on the Bible, but what do you think my opinion would be of secular rock and secular rap and even country music and everything else and pop and all that? You think it's going to be that God approves of it? I think by now everyone in here knows that I don't think that. So we need to be careful of the music that we're listening to, is what I'm trying to get across to us. It is powerful, and it'll be a stronghold in many of our lives. There's a lot of people, it's a stronghold for them. For me personally, it's not really that big a deal. I've never been that big into music. I've listened to a lot of it, but it's never been like, I know some people, they have to always have music on. I'm not like that. I can go the whole day without music, but I know other people aren't like that. So for me, it's not one of those things, but I know it can definitely be a stronghold in people's lives. And this is something we just need to surrender over to the Lord and give it to Him. And just, here, Lord, help me with this because I'm having a hard time with it. And we need to be willing to do that. So I just wanted to encourage us with that. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 3, if we would. Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 6. Nehemiah 3, 6. All right, Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says, "Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada the son of Paseah, and Meshulam the son of Besadiah. They laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Melatiah the Gibeonite, and Jadin the Moronathite, the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah, and unto the throne of the governor on this side the river. Next unto him," get this, "repaired Uziel the son of Harhiah of the goldsmiths. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah the sons of one of the apothecaries." And here's what I want to point out here. "And they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall." They fortified Jerusalem. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to meet with us, to bless this time of teaching and preaching. And Lord, help us be willing to submit our wills to yours. God, in so many areas of life, we need to do that. Lord, help that to be the attitude of our hearts, that we're not fighting you. We're not fighting your word. Lord, forgive us where we've failed you, where we've just outright sinned against you. And God, help us to just submit our wills to you, to be that living sacrifice. God, we really do need your help, and we ask you to bless in this time as we come to your word and we sit at your feet to learn from you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It says that Uzziel and Hananiah fortified Jerusalem. They were building, and it says they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. That word fortify means to strengthen against any attacks, as to fortify the mind against sudden calamity, to furnish with strength or means of resisting force, violence, or assault. So they were setting the city up, they were fortifying it, they were building it, they were strengthening it, so if it was attacked, it could withstand that attack. That's what we want to do right here with in regards to this issue of music, is we want to fortify the walls in our life, those walls of protection. Now remember, the wall keeps out what's bad, the gate allows in what you want, and you can take out what you don't want. So we need to obviously build that old gate. We want to stand in the old path, but we want to use that gate. If we've got something bad in our life, we want to use that gate to open it up and throw it out and then close the gate on it. And we want to fortify this area of our life. And there may be other areas that the Lord's speaking to you about, but we want to strengthen it so that if it comes back to attack, we're ready for it. We're braced for it. We're prepared for it. You know, this is a principle we can apply all across the board in our Christian life. If we will, because this might not be your issue, you might not have a problem with music, but I know in our society is crazed with entertainment. We need to be entertained constantly, and we always need something before us. And I know personally that music is a huge deal, because I've dealt with it in the workplace with just fighting with people over it, and I mean, they pretty much just shunned me and got really mad at me because I don't want to listen to this stuff. So I know it's a stronghold in our society and even for many Christians. But if you know you have a weakness towards something, maybe that besetting sin, the Bible talks about a besetting sin. You know, everybody in here has one. It's that thing they just keep going to. They keep failing the Lord over, and we got to keep taking it to Him and taking it to Him and taking it to Him, whatever that may be. You know, if you know you have a weakness towards a certain thing, then set up things in your life to stay away from it, to guard yourself from that. We could say like this right here, as it said in verse 8, they fortified Jerusalem under the broad wall. They know attacks are coming, so they're going to fortify, they're going to strengthen it. So strengthen yourself in regards to that. Separate yourself from what it is, whatever you have to put in place, so that you're not going to be taken down with whatever attack comes at you. So if you know that music is a weakness, and you've got all these stations you like programmed into your radio, take them off. Turn them off. Put it on, I don't know, the classical station or something. Something you know is not going to be that temptation there for you to hit that button and be like, oh, I just want to hear some of this music. Get rid of it. Get rid of the music you have that you don't want. You know, if it relates to movies that you have that you know are ungodly, get rid of them. And when I say get rid of them, I mean destroy them so someone else can't get them. Destroy them. Break them. I mean, just whatever it takes. Just get rid of it. Why? So it's not a temptation for you, because if it's there, man, it's easier to succumb to it. You know, I used to work with a guy, and he was a mechanic. We worked in a shop, and he used to always say, a lock just keeps an honest man honest. That's all a lock does, is if you're honest, you'll just stay out of something that's not yours, is what he meant by that. But if you're a thief, you're going to find a way in. You know, so if there's a thief here, you're not going to put things out before him that you know he's going to want. You're not going to try and set them before him, are you? No, because you don't want him to take it. Okay, so put up things in your life that you're not going to be tempted to partake of or to take part in. So they fortified the walls of Jerusalem. This is what we need to do. We need to fortify his walls of protection in our life. That's what Jerusalem needed in Nehemiah's day, and it's exactly what we need in our day. So will you fortify your life from the dangers of CCM, contemporary Christian music? And you might be thinking, well, what dangers are there in regards to CCM? And we're going to look at that. And we talked about this last week, that it's worldly music, and we're just going to continue with that, because I was going to be done with it and move on to the three other reasons why we stand against CCM. But I thought, no, there's so much here. I want us to get more of it. I want us to understand more why we're against it and the worldliness of it. 1 John 2:16, if you would go ahead and turn there, please. I want you to see this. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 16. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." God just defined the world for us. What's considered worldly? Because, I mean, I've told people before, I was like, well, that's worldly. That's why we don't partake of that. And they'll just throw ridiculous stuff out like, well, then you can't eat because it's of the world. I'm like, no. That's such a straw man argument. I mean, they'll just throw stuff out like that. Well, you can't wear clothes because those are of the world. That's not what God means when he says of the world. That's just a weak straw man argument. A straw man's something you just set up so you can knock it down real easy and make the other side look like it's ridiculous what they believe. Okay, a straw man's just like a false argument is what you're setting up to make yourself look good. Okay, so they're going to say things like that, but God defines for us what's worldly. He says, all that is in the world, here's what it is, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. So those things, if it has to do with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that's considered worldly, and we should abstain from it. Verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Oh, watch out there. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's strong right there. Let me say this as we look at CCM. This is just me, and I could be wrong in this. Maybe I know someone that isn't like this, but everybody that I know that listens to CCM also listens to the secular versions of that same music as well. Everybody I know. If they listen to, you know, Christian rap or Christian rock, they also listen to the real rap and the real rock. Every one of them. And I think if you, maybe you listen to music like this, I don't know, or you know people that do, you'd probably say, yeah, that's true. I'd say that's probably true. Everybody I know, without exception, every one of them I know that listens to it, also listens to the secular versions as well. Or we could say the worldly version. Okay, what the world's putting out. So what is worldly music? Worldly music is music that sounds like the music used by the world for sinful activities. John defined it as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Music that is characterized by these things is worldly music. So, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And that is true for blues, for jazz, for rock, for rap, for reggae, and other forms of modern dance music. This type of music has an intimate association with immorality, drunkenness, drug abuse, gambling, prostitution, and other evils. And it's impossible to disconnect the music from this association. It's impossible to disconnect the music from that association. I mean, when I hear a rap beat, I don't think of God. I just don't. That is not what I think of. Anybody else? First thing you think of is God when you hear a rap beat? No. I think of immorality and a bunch of wicked things that are associated with rap music. You know, and probably what really set it off was gangster rap. That's mostly where my mind goes to when I start hearing rap music and thinking everything associated with that and all the evils there. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to put off an image. They're trying to look hard like a gangster. And yet you've got the so-called Christian rap artists looking the same. So, you know, they'll have their gangster pose. They'll be like that too. You know, like what? You want some? Or, you know, they got to stand like they're all hard. That's what they'll do. Because they're trying to fit an image. Is it a worldly image or a godly image? It's a worldly image. Has to do with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's pride. I'm tough. That's exactly what it is. We could flip it and look at the women. How do women dress when it comes to secular music? Godly or immoral? That's a no-brainer. I think the way they dress, God calls it nakedness. The Bible defines as nakedness. They're running around naked. See, we've been so corrupted by the world, we don't even know what naked is anymore. Because, I mean, women can go out in a bikini wearing nothing, and we think that's okay. Here's the thing. When I was teaching teens, I threw this out to the teens one time, coming around to summertime. I hate summertime for this reason, because the way the women dress. And I have to just, you know, constantly avert my eyes. Just looking over here, you know, doing one of these. You know, you have to. That's just part of life. You're going to have to deal with that. But I threw this out to the teens when I was teaching them at one time. I had a teen class. And I said, you know, none of even boys included in this, but specifically the girls, none of the girls would dare come out of their house and just, and I'm not trying to be vulgar or anything like that. I just want you to think about this. But none of them would dare come out in their underwear. Just go out in the street, just go in their underwear. But if all of a sudden you dig a hole in the ground and you fill it up with water, now all of a sudden that becomes okay. It becomes okay to walk around like that. As long as you're around this hole with water in it. What do we call that? A swimming pool. Okay, now all this, oh, it's okay now to walk around in your underwear. Go ahead. Hey, no problem. Now that's modest. See, there's a disconnect. We don't put those two together, but it's the same thing. There's no difference. We have lost what nakedness is, and there's no shame in any of it anymore. I'll just throw this out, and I can get you the reference if you want. The Bible says to show your thigh is nakedness. Yeah, I believe it's in Jeremiah or Isaiah. I forget which one, but I can find it for you. To uncover your thigh is nakedness. Do you know what your thigh is? Your thigh is above your knee. I'm not picking on anyone here. I'm not. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Hey, can I just say, I had to be taught this stuff. I had to be taught this stuff. I didn't know it. And I had someone teach me. But the Bible says if you show your thigh, that's nakedness. That goes the same for men and women, by the way. Okay, and I'll throw this one out there too. For a man to have his shirt off, that's nakedness. What? No, it's not. Says who? If you want to go by the world's definition, you're right. But if you want to go by God's definition, then it's nakedness. But we've lost that. We've lost that. So we don't understand what nakedness is. But the women that are involved in the world's music, they're completely immoral in the way they dress, the way they move. What are they? They're trying to seduce. They're causing men to lust. And that's the point. That's what they want to do. And now look at the women in Christian music, and they're doing the same exact thing. They're dressing the same exact way. And it's a constant battle, and we're battling it in churches. We're battling it with our daughters. Say, no, no, you can't wear that. Don't dress like that. Why? Well, this is how everyone's dressing. What's wrong with this? Dads, you know. Mom, you better support dad. I'm telling you, when he tells your daughter to change, you better support him. Don't argue with him about it. Support him in that. Because dad knows the way men look at women. And he might not tell you that, but I will. I don't know. I think the men in here are fine telling their wives that, no, 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 we can't do that. But I know some men don't. Just if he says you need to change, go change. Girls, don't advertise yourself. Don't advertise yourself. I'm telling you right now, your dad loves you more than any man in this world. Your dad loves you more than any man in this world. And if he tells you you really shouldn't wear that, just go change. I mean, you can go off and leaking and everything, you know, and mad at him, but just go change because your dad loves you and he cares for you. And he knows the way men are going to look at you. You might not get it. You might not understand it. But I guarantee to you, he does. Please just listen to him. So we're here, the CCM artists, they're going to dress the same. They're going to try and associate with the evils of the world, with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And for the men, it's a pride issue. For the ladies even, it's a pride issue. And it's the lust of the eyes. I mean, the women and the men both want, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. And everyone likes attention, I get it. Especially you get to a certain age, if you want the attention of the opposite sex. I get that. That's normal to have those feelings. It's normal to like somebody. But hey, make sure God says that, hey, for a woman, a meek and quiet spirit is what should draw a man to you. Not the way you're adorned out here, not your outward adorning. Okay, same thing for the men. I mean, we want attention too. We want girls to look at us. We want that. That's normal. But let it be for you as well, a godly spirit, a godly attitude that you love the Lord. And that's what it is. Dan Lucarini said this. He wrote a book, Why I Left the Contemporary Christian Music Movement. He said, I'm now convinced that God will not accept our worship. Okay, let me just read it. He will not accept our worship when it's offered with music styles that are also used by pagans for their immoral practices. He's a jealous God. If you grasp this principle alone, it will change forever the way you lead a worship service. Dan Lucarini is a man that went into churches like this and transformed them, transitioned them from a church that believes in music like this and godly standards into a contemporary Christian. We're going to have, you know, the praise band and everything up here, and we're going to be rocking out to Jesus. Transition them from this to that. And he'd go in and do it subtly and just bring them along. But he says, I'm now convinced that God will not accept our worship when it's offered with music styles that are also used by pagans. Pagans, see, oh, we don't think of the world like that, but they're pagans. That's what they are. They're pagans. And the music they're offering is pagan worship. You don't think so? Just look into the last few, you know, music awards that they've had as they're doing a seance. They're doing a ritual to the devil, essentially. They're doing a worship service to their God. And I mean, I'm saying look at it, but at the same time don't, because of the way the women are dressed. But that's what it is. I mean, they're doing mock offerings to Satan in those performances that they're doing live on television for all the world to see. I mean, that's what's going on. And we're blind to it. Why? Because we are so engrossed with being entertained all the time. So what's wrong with CCM? And when I say CCM, I mean blues, jazz, rock, rap, reggae, every other form of modern pop music, whatever it is that calls itself Christian. What's wrong with it? Well, again, it's worldly music. So what is worldly music? Well, I read you that quote earlier about it being music that sounds like the music used by the world for sinful activities. And John defined it, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. CCM borrows from the world's sensual rhythms, okay? We're talking about the music itself now, the music that's played. It borrows itself from sensual rhythms. CCM proudly uses any style of music. I mean, anything goes now, anything gives. They've got like Christian metal and everything like that now. I mean, anybody ever heard of the so-called, Christian band POD? Payable on demand. I mean, just wicked, just vulgar. I'll read some quotes by them here as we get through this. But just Christian metal. Anybody ever listen to metal, heavy metal? I mean, that just, to me, I have never liked that music. It has always sounded like garbage to me. It's just noise. I'm like, shut that off. I can't stand it to even hear it. It just sounds awful. But there's some people that like it, and I'm sure some of the music I used to listen to, people felt the same way about. Shut that music off. It sounds awful. But we're trying to take something like that and now say it's Christian. We'll just throw the tagline Christian in front of it, and all of a sudden it's, oh, it's good now. You know, the halo's over it, and it's just, it's good to go. Right? It's almost, that's where modern-day Christianity's at. You just, anything you call Christian, it's good. I'm going to say this, and you might think I'm crazy, but I believe this. There's one day going to be a day where they're promoting Christian pornography. What? I guarantee it. I guarantee there will be a day where they're promoting Christian pornography. Watch me. I bet. And that's sad. And I'm not proud of that. I'm not happy about that. But the way things are going, it wouldn't surprise me one bit. So CCM uses music that is openly used in worship of the flesh and the devil. They just openly use it. I mean, there's no denying it. Think of groups like Black Sabbath. Anybody ever heard of Black Sabbath? You heard Black Sabbath? You know, who used to be their lead singer? Anybody know? Say, preacher, how do you know so much about this? Because I study this stuff, but I used to listen to some of this stuff too. Not really Black Sabbath, but I've heard their songs before. Ozzy Osbourne used to be their lead singer. This is the same guy that would bite off the heads of live bats on stage. Okay? I mean, he's a wicked, sick, twisted, evil man that needs the Lord. I'm not saying that, but he's a wicked man. And, I mean, just look at their name, Black Sabbath. They're saying we're the antithesis of what's godly, of what's righteous. We stand against God. And just even their music. But CCM uses music that's openly used in worship to the devil. Well, we'll just put Christian in front of it. Christian devil worship. Oh, there you go. It's happened in the Bible before. I mean, what'd they do there in Exodus when Moses went on the mountain to go get the The Ten Commandments. He was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. What did they do? They started worshiping the devil in the name of the Lord. So you think that's crazy that they would have Christian devil worship? What do you mean it's crazy? It's happened before. There's no new thing under the sun. Aaron fashions this calf. He gives it to them. And he says, hey, here be thy gods which delivered thee out of Egypt. Go ahead, have at it. Worship them. And they start worshiping this calf which they got out of Egypt. By the way, Egypt is a picture of the world. You study the Bible, Egypt is always a picture of the world. God says, I'm calling my people out of Egypt. Come out of the world. I don't want you in the world anymore. He's calling us out of that. He's called his people away from that. To stand against that. And what are they doing? They're fashioning a god after the world. But they gave it the name of Jehovah. Here's the Lord which brought you out of Egypt. Christian devil worship. Think it won't happen again? You think it doesn't happen? It absolutely does. It absolutely does. Turn to Romans 13, 14 if you would. Romans 13, 14. Here's what we're told. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh so you can fulfill the lusts thereof. Don't give yourself the opportunity. Don't put those stumbling blocks before you. But CCM says, hey, we're going to use music that our flesh desires, that our flesh loves. We're not going to tell our flesh no. By the way, the Bible says that we get saved, God puts a new song in our heart. Where's the new song? But CCM wants to say, oh no, I want the old song. And we're just going to make it Christian now. God says, I'm going to give you a new song. So are we making a provision for the flesh? Are we trying to follow the flesh? Are we trying to follow after godliness and righteousness? All of these worldly styles of music rely heavily on the backbeat. The backbeat's the chief characteristic of pop music. Consider these quotes. I felt that if I could take a tune and drop the first and third beats and accentuate the second and fourth and add a beat the listeners could clap to as well as dance, this would be what they were after. Bill Haley, cited by Charlie Gillett in the sound of the city, the rise of rock and roll. That's secular rock music, by the way. He said, it's in the beat. The beat is what I'm after. I want to accentuate the second and fourth and add a beat that the listeners could clap to as well as dance. What's that? That's my flesh likes it. My flesh likes it. You want proof of it? I've seen it before with parents who I know believe about music like I do, and you look at their little two-year-old or three-year-old, and some secular song comes on, some worldly song comes on, and those kids just start dancing. They just get out there and they're just like, they just start moving. They'll just start dancing. Why? Because the flesh just instantly just, your body wants to fill that gap where there's supposed to be a beat and they're changing it on that backbeat, that offbeat. Your body instinctively wants to fill that gap. And that's how you can hear music and your body just wants to start moving to it. Chuck Berry said this, I dig that rock and roll music. It has a backbeat. You can't lose it. This is taken from, this was hard for me in studying this because I can hear the songs being played. But this is, anybody know of Huey Lewis in the News? Some older maybe, okay. The Heart of Rock and Roll. You ever heard that song? See, I'm going to say these words and I guarantee you're going to start singing it in your head. Just, sorry, but I want you to hear this, okay? I did the same thing. I'm going to try not to say it like they sing it, okay? When they play their music, ooh, that modern music, they like it with a lot of style, but it's still that same old backbeat rhythm that really, really drives them wild. Okay, that's in the song. You maybe recognized it. It's still that same old backbeat rhythm. They understand it. The rockers themselves, the secular rockers that don't pretend to be Christian at all, understand it's that backbeat, that beat. That's what drives them wild. Elvis Presley, cited by Steve Turner. Here's what Elvis said. It's the beat that gets to you. If you like it and you feel it, you can't help but move to it. That's what happens to me. I can't help it. Now, Elvis probably did the most to catapult rock and roll music in our society. He really did. Him and then next the Beatles. And by the way, I've heard so many people say Elvis was a Christian and they lift him up. Oh, he sang Amazing Grace, you know, so instantly, hey, you're good if you've sang Amazing Grace. I mean, the devils couldn't sing Amazing Grace, right? Elvis, as far as I've studied, and I can show you video quotes of him pretty much blaspheming God, he was not a saved man. I don't care. I've heard preachers say they, you know, that they know so-and-so witnessed to him and he said he was a Christian. He professed Christ as his Savior. I don't care. That man was a wicked, blasphemous devil, drug-induced into Wicca and everything else, witchcraft, everything else. He was a wicked man. His music was wicked and did the greatest to probably drive this country away from God. But when he said that, there was a big old thing that came out about Elvis. Nowadays, the way he was moving isn't a big deal nowadays. But when he started it, man, he went on the Ed Sullivan show. They would only show him from the waist up. Why? Because the way he was dancing, the way he was moving, what was he doing? He was drawing attention down to his pelvis. And they were like, no, we're not going to show that. So they would only show him from his waist up because the way he was moving. And I mean, there was parents outraged at what was happening with Elvis. And next are the Beatles. Those are a bunch of wicked devils as well. You know, I don't take any joy in saying this, but Who was it that just died? I think it was Ringo Starr. Maybe was it him or George Harrison? I forget which one of them. He's in hell. John Lennon's in hell right now. And Paul McCartney and the other one that's still alive are on their way there if they don't get saved. I'm just telling you. They believe in just New Age mysticism, and that's what they pushed. That's what they brought. I forget which one of them sang that song, Hare Krishna. I mean, he became a Hare Krishna and died. I think it was George Harrison. I might be wrong on that. One of them. But they did more to destroy the morals of this country probably than anyone else. Their music did that. And that generation, it was just a mess back then. What happened? The devil got his hand in all that, and he definitely used that music to drive this country away from the morals that we had, at least, and the strong Christian backbone that we did have. It used it to drive us away from that. And we're seeing the fruit of that right now. Really, because those people that, you know, the hippies, the baby boomers, they are the ones now that are leading this country. And it's even coming up on the generation after them. And look at how fast we're going. I mean, I'm serious. We can't even figure out what bathroom to use. Come on, how sick can we be? How far away from God can we be? How far away from common sense can we be? That we can't figure that out. That we're willing to endanger our daughters and our wives for the sake of not hurting 0.3% of the society's feelings to be inclusive. It's ridiculous to me, but that's how far we've gotten that fast. So, all right. You could almost say that this style of music wants to gratify the flesh. It's all talking about, oh, I can't help it. It's just it's that beat. You have to move to it. As I read you those quotes. Again, 1 John 2:16, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Gene Simmons. Anybody ever heard of Gene Simmons? We know Gene Simmons from Kiss. Yeah, Gene Simmons from Kiss. Okay, here's another issue. I'm not even going to deal with this really in all of this, but just look at this. I mean, you've got it started probably in the 70s rock, moving on into the 80s and stuff. Just look at how they've effeminized men. Oh, these hardcore rockers, yeah! Look like a bunch of effeminate wimps, dressing like women with their long hair, putting makeup on. I mean, many of them cross-dressing, Gene Simmons, one of them. I mean, think about it. Look at where now you've got all these effeminate, I mean, an emo. I mean, what in the world is that? What is that all about? Skinny jeans? I can't stand skinny jeans. Those are effeminate as can be. And maybe some of you guys in here wear them, I don't know, but those are effeminate. I'm just telling you right now, there's nothing masculine about that at all. But it's acceptable now to be soft. That's what effeminate means. It means soft, having the characteristics of a woman. Young men, listen, you shake somebody's hand, shake their hand firm. Don't give the soft, limp-wristed little thing. Don't do that. Shake a man's hand firmly. Learn to do that. I had to be taught that. I didn't know that. I had to be taught that to shake a man's hand firm. Do it. I mean, look him in the eye. Show some respect to adults. Don't do that. You might be a shy person. That's okay. But shake a man's hand firmly. Ladies' hands, I barely touch them because I don't want to squeeze them like I will a man sometimes. And I try not to do that. I don't want to crush your hand or anything like that. But men, if you're going to shake a man's hand, shake it firm. I mean, we think that, preacher, what are you hitting all these little pet peeves you have? Yes, I am. And where does it start? It started with all of this stuff here, with effeminizing it through music, and our whole culture's been effeminized. I mean, I watch the Andy Griffith Show. Anybody else watch the Andy Griffith Show? Okay, I like the Andy Griffith Show. But I'm telling you, even in that show, I can look at it and I can see how they're effeminizing men already. They're softening it. They're, you know, the women's lib movement gets its hands in there and you can see it. Just watch it. Start paying attention to it. Look, anyone ever watch Leave It to Beaver? I mean, you think it's clean. It's good. We watched it. But man, Ward Cleaver was the biggest stinking wimp. Anytime his wife said anything, just watch it. If you ever watch that show, it's, you know, June's always like, oh, Ward. And he's just like, well, boys, he's about to get after him for something. And then June will step in and say something. And he'll just kind of soften up and back off on them. And, you know, let them, you know, instead of the dad just getting after him and giving them maybe the whooping that they needed or the talking to that they needed, he just backs up and softens up. And you think, what's the big deal about that? Well, the big deal is it's led to now we've got boys that don't even know they're boys. You think, really, from that? Yes, from that. Incrementalism, that's how Satan works. He's like, I'll be patient. I'll just a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. This is how he's worked in our society. He's worked to destroy the family. I mean, let me tear this thing down. He's worked at it. And we can see all these ways that Satan's worked in this world, but we think he's not going to touch music. Especially not Christian music, right? Let's not be so naive to think he wouldn't do that. Gene Simmons of Kiss said this, that's what rock is all about. Fornication with a 100 megaton bomb, the beat. He didn't say fornication, he said a 3-letter word. Fornication with a 100 megaton bomb. What's that 100 megaton bomb? The beat. That beat. That beat. Are we as Christians attempting to mix the holy and the profane by using this type of music and calling it Christian? Is that what's happening? This is, the rockers themselves are saying that this is what it's all about. This is what this music is all about. And these are the out-and-out rockers. They don't claim to be anything else. The out-and-out rockers, they're claiming that it's fornication with a 100 megaton bomb, the beat. They admit that. So are we trying to mix the holy and the profane by taking that music from the world and saying it's now Christian? Alan Ives in How to Tell the Difference Between Good and Bad Music. He was a former rock and roller. Here's what he said. How do you understand what good Christian music is? It ought to sound different from the rock station, the easy listening station, the entertainment music. When we sing gospel songs in the good old-fashioned way, they don't sound like anything that the world sings. That's the way we need to keep it. We can never portray the peace of the Lord with wild, discordant, violent sounds. We can never speak of the love of God with hateful music, the goodness of the Lord with bad music, the majesty of God with low-class music, the power of God with puny music, the wisdom of God with stupid music, the holiness of God with unholy music. We can never speak of God with ungodly music, of heavenly things with earthly, sensual, and devilish music. And we can never speak of being a soldier if we use dance music. This is what he said. They don't sound like anything that the world sings. Can you portray the peace of the Lord with wild, discordant, violent sounds? And it's talking about just the music too. That beat that's there, the music itself never finishes itself off because it's always like something's missing, and that's why your body's instantly going to just move to it because something's missing. It's like breaking up the music where it shouldn't be, and that's what they're going after. That's what they want, but there's no peace in that music. It never finishes properly how it should. Rock music is a dangerous music. Rock music destroys your brain. David Merrill conducted an experiment. This is interesting right here. In this experiment, he timed 72 mice running through a maze. He divided the mice into three groups and let each mouse run through the maze. He established an average time of 10 minutes. He then left one group alone, played classical music to one group, and played hard rock music to the other group. So he ran them all through, all these 72 mice. They run through this maze. The average time's 10 minutes. One group, nothing. He just leaves them alone. The next group, he plays classical music for them. The next group, he plays heavy metal, hard rock music for them. Okay, when he timed them again, the mice that had not listened to any music took about 5 minutes less to run through the maze than they had before. So on average, the group that didn't listen to anything else, but they ran through it once, they could do it in 5 minutes now. It's 5 minutes less, okay? The mice that listened to classical music improved their time by 8.5 minutes. Okay, 8.5 minutes. What's that? That's clean, crisp music. Okay? Classical music. I'm not talking that like Christian music, classical music. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? Improved their time by 8.5 minutes. So that means it took them 1.5 minutes to run through that maze. 1.5 minutes, where before it took them 10, and now they cut it down by 8.5 minutes. That's quite an improvement. All right. While the mice that listened to hard rock music took 3 times as long to complete it as they had before. It took them 30 minutes to complete it. 30 minutes listening to hard rock music. Just that banging music, that stinking noise. Just banging away. It took them 30 minutes. The mice that listened to hard rock music did not sniff the air to find trails from mice that had gone before them as the other mice did. David said, the man that did the study, it was like the music dulled their senses. Maybe that's why sometimes we wonder if our kids are thinking. I don't know. Okay. It's okay to laugh. I was just joking. All right. It shows point blank that hard rock has a negative effect all around. I can't think of a positive effect that hard rock has. That's what this man said that performed this study. During this experiment, each mouse was housed in separate aquariums. Each mouse. 72 mice. Each mouse was housed in a separate aquarium, kept separate from all the others. That is because when David had previously attempted to perform a similar experiment, he kept the mice in each group together, and those mice that listened to the rock music killed each other. It's rock music for you. It's the fruit of it. Let me see here where we're at. All right, we're going to stop right here.